Before we open our Bibles this morning, let's have a word of prayer and ask God to direct us in what we're about to do and to help us. Heavenly Father, we bow before your throne today and we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our shelter, our rock in the time of storm. Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit today. We need you in the most desperate way, Father, to fill the capacity of my mind and my heart, my spirit, my very being, that the words of God may be preached in truth by the direction of the Spirit of God. Lead us in accordance with your will on exactly how you would have us to preach and what you would have us to preach. Open the ears of every person that's here. May their minds understand clearly the truth of the words of God. May their hearts be receptive. May their spirits be even willing, Father, to listen to you and to trust you and to follow you. Heavenly Father, we ask you please to magnify your word and glorify yourself. Lord, for the saints that are here, we pray that you will edify them. For the souls that are here today without Jesus Christ, we pray that their hearts will be stirred to put away pride, to put away sin, to put away doubt, and to trust you with all of their hearts to save them. For we ask you to do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in preaching the words of God, it's always very necessary to be very sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit of God in the preparation of the message, in the preparation of the messenger, and in the presentation of the message. Could be very well that we have something that's presented, and then as we preach, I've heard Tony say, I'll have it there, but the Lord takes it off in another direction sometimes and does something with it that I didn't expect. Sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit of God in the presentation. I remember years ago, radio broadcast, we had a caller from outside of Houston that called, and he told me that he said, Brother Welder, he said, I believe I've been called to preach. And I said, that's wonderful. He said, so I only have one question. I said, okay, thinking that I might have the answer to his question. He said, when you're getting ready to preach, do you find that the Lord spends more time with you preparing the message or preparing the messenger? I said, you know, I never have even thought about that question before, and I can answer it, but you've done me a great favor by calling me. You've instructed me with your question. We spend so much time sometimes preparing the message that the messenger is not ready. God always has a message. What he needs is a ready messenger. That changed my life because it told me that I could take great confidence in the Lord. He had the message. All he needed was a mouthpiece. I mean, those microphones we use when we sing, we turn them on, you can hear, we turn them off, and that's the end of it. A messenger is much the same way. God just needs some place to produce voice, some place for somebody to be an ambassador, to be an intercessor, to intervene, so that he can speak to somebody who needs to hear from him. And that's what we have the opportunity to do when we preach, is just simply give you a message. And when I look here in the mornings and I see you and I think about where you are in your lives and what your needs are, sometimes it's hard not to want to speak to what I see. It's a very important thing to go to the Bible and speak what it says. in spite of where I think it might need to be applied or how I might think it needs to be applied. A young evangelist friend of mine went to see an older evangelist friend of his, and the older evangelist was on his deathbed, literally. I mean, he died within a week of their visit. And the young evangelist was there to pray with him and comfort him, and he saw that there was great wisdom in this man, and he was afraid that the wisdom would die with the man. And so he said to him, "Please give me some wisdom as a young preacher that I can live by after you're gone." And the evangelist didn't want to just say from his bed what he was going to say. And so, like Jacob before he blessed Manasseh and Ephraim, he struggled for several minutes to right himself and sit on the side of the bed so he could look right in that young man's eyes. And he said, "You preach the word and let the word preach to the people." Well, if I understand those two things, I understand that God has the message and He has people that need to hear the message. All He needs is a mouthpiece and the book, and He can get the message to them. And I look around here today and I see, you know what I see? In every lap, I see a Bible. For most of you, some of you are visiting today and perhaps didn't bring a Bible. But in most every lap, I see the Word of God. And I know what that is. That's a sword. And it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that Word, delivered to any soul, will accomplish what God wants to do with it. He said, "My word shall not return void." You put that thing out, and you're a wise reprover on an obedient ear. They're going to hear from God. That tells me two things. That tells me that when we leave here, we need to have a Bible ready at hand. You either need to have it in your possession, or you need to have it in your heart, or better yet, both. And you need to be ready to use it. Because there are a lot of people that you and I come in contact with that need to hear from God. And God doesn't speak by any other means than these words. Now, I understand when you pray, God may impress upon your heart something that He wants you to do. But He's never going to impress anything upon your heart contrary to these words. I understand that you may have prayed before, and you may even say to somebody, "God spoke to me and said this," in an inaudible voice. And I understand what you're saying, but may I tell you something? That impression, those words, there will never be contrary to the words of this book. People who say to me, "God spoke to me and showed me this," and what God showed them is contrary to this book, that wasn't God. That was their own imagination, or worse yet, it could have been an evil spirit. And both are ready and willing to speak. So I know this then, God always speaks through this book. Let me say this, He may have impressed upon your heart something. May I say this, when you open this Bible and say what this Bible says, you are speaking as the oracles of God. God always speaks through this book. Well, then that would indicate He just needs ready messengers. I mean, if the question that I was asked is a question that affected my life so dramatically as it did years ago, that the messenger needs to be prepared. Same is true for you. You say, "Well, I'm not a pastor." No, but you're a preacher. You're a preacher. And you preach by your life and example, and you preach by your words. When you tell your children something out of this Bible that they need to obey, you're preaching. When you quote a verse of Scripture to somebody as a wise reprover on an obedient ear, you're a preacher. When Paul and the disciples, before Paul, when the disciples were going and the Word of God was spreading from city to city, Paul was arresting people that were preaching the Word of God. Do you know what he arrested? Men and women. Acts chapter 8. Men and women. The Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are ambassadors for Christ. Turn there with me, please. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors from the United States of America that go to a foreign country go with a specific command. They don't go unprepared. They are perhaps a political appointee of somebody that is then president or in a capacity to appoint ambassadors because of favors they have done to the party or favors they have done to that particular person in office. But nevertheless, they go prepared to do something as an ambassador to that country. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, begin reading with me in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word. It's in your hand. Of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Being ambassadors is not what we do. Being ambassadors is who we are. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That little passage of Scripture is perhaps one of the greatest passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. From the beginning in verse 17 all the way down to the end of verse 21. Because he says here in verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. May I tell you what he just did right there? I said, God needs a prepared messenger to deliver his message from the words of God to people that need to hear it. You're the people. When we leave here, we'll be in contact with other people. But right now, you're the people. And somehow, in a very strange way, while I'm up here with thoughts that are in my mind and a text that's in my heart, God speaks like he was in Christ, in verse 19, speaks through the preacher to your heart in ways that I couldn't possibly imagine because I can't imagine what it is you need. But the old man said, you preach the word and let the word preach to the people. And that passage of Scripture right there says God was in Christ in verse 19. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You say, what does that word imputing mean? It means to account those things to you. Everybody in here, me included, me most of all, we have sinned and we have an account. God keeps books. At the white throne judgment, the Bible says the books were opened and men were judged for the works that they had done. So there's an accounting. And when God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to Himself, He says, you know what? I have something in this account against you, but I'm not going to account that to you. I need somebody big and ugly for an illustration. Let's see. Cade, come help me. Just high enough. I mean, you can stand there. You can be on your knees and they can see you. But just right up, just a little bit. Just a little bit higher. A little bit higher. One more. Okay. That's good, eh? God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. You can put your hands out. Like when He was dying on the cross. That is not Jesus Christ. But for the point of this illustration, Zach, you have done something that was in my book, but since Christ came to reconcile the world to Himself, I am not going to account that to you. I'm going to account that to you. Why did you do that? He didn't know what was coming. Milton, I got pages of things in my book on you. But because my Son has come to reconcile the world to Himself, I am not going to account these things on these pages to you. I'm going to account them to my Son. Jamie, see, the girls always think, they always get left out of these illustrations. I got a book on you of a lot of iniquities. But I'm not going to, because I'm reconciling you to myself, I'm going to put these, thank you, on my Son. He didn't do it. You did it. You did it. You did it. And I did it. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to put that on my Son. I'm going to kill Him so that you and I can be reconciled. Now, I'm still in Christ. How are you going to be reconciled to me, Zach? Jesus says, come unto me. Come on. Down here. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come on up. Put your hand on your shoulder. We're reconciled. You know what the message is? He's got to come to me through my Son. Because this is the one that bore the iniquities. Now, He died and was buried and rose again the third day. The iniquities are gone. And we're reconciled. That's the message. So when I'm preaching, it's not important that you see me. It's not important that you hear me. It's important that you see Him. And it's important that you hear God. When you have the opportunity to talk to somebody because they have been reconciled by God to the world, tell them about Jesus. Tell them that their iniquities have been accounted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they don't have to die for their own iniquities. Be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Thank you. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Verse 19 goes on to say, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. So I can go with the word of reconciliation, and now you can't see Jesus, but you can hear from Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I come to you and I say, Zach, do you know Jesus Christ? Are you reconciled to God by Jesus Christ? You say to me, I know you are, but you say to me, no, I'm not. Then I have the word of reconciliation. I'm an ambassador for Him because He's in heaven now and you can't see Him. So I am His ambassador. And I came to tell you, verse 21, that God made Jesus to be sin for you. He didn't know any sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I came to tell you that another man took the bullet for you. Soldier talk. That you don't have to die for yourself. I have to tell you, Zach, that in order for you to understand the full import of this, you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? A lot of people don't want an ambassador to tell them that they're a sinner. But if I'm a messenger and I am to deliver the words of God, I have to tell them the truth. There's bad news with this because sinners who die without Christ go to hell. You say, what's that? That is a place of eternal torment with flames in it. You know what's wrong with people building great big churches today? They're not ambassadors for Christ. Unless they can tell people who are sinners that they are sinners and that without Christ they're going to go to hell. Then they're an ambassador for Christ. But if they want to shuck all that and just say, hey, come to our church and shuck and jive with us in Jesus' name, we're going to have us a good time. They're an ambassador for somebody, but they're not an ambassador for Christ because Jesus Christ didn't come for us to shuck and jive in Jesus' name. Do they even do that anymore? Nothing wrong with having a good time. But if you're having a good time on this side of eternity and you wind up in hell on the other side of eternity, that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. You got the short end of that stick. I got to tell you that. I got to tell you also, Zach, that you're going to be judged. God's going to open the books. And when He opens the books, what you want is a blank page. And right now there's stuff on the page that got put on Jesus Christ. And if your sins have been put on Jesus Christ, there's really only one sin that's going to send you to hell. And that's the sin of failing to believe that what He did for you was sufficient to reconcile you to God. Because He's already paid for the other ones. But if you'll trust Jesus, who's paid for those, you'll have God's righteousness. See, one part of the equation is taken care of. Listen. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He did that part. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And you're not the righteousness of God in Him until you receive Him. And put your faith in Him. and trust what He did for you. When you do that, you're saved. You say, well, preacher, but I don't think I'm all as bad as that. Listen, you're not the judge. I might be inclined to agree with you. I say, you know something? I know you to be a pretty good young man. I don't think you're all as bad as that. But you hadn't met God yet. And when you meet a God who is sovereign and perfect and righteous in every capacity, listen, I'll tell you this, you're not as good as Job. Job looked at him and said, I am vile. The worst thing in the world you could do today, if you're here and you're not reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, the worst thing you could do is walk the rest of your life without Jesus Christ and wind up before Him in a judgment and say to Him, no, I didn't trust you when I had the opportunity. And He'll say, why not? Did you not hear from my ambassador? You don't need to see Jesus Christ here today. You don't need to see God, and you don't need to have that Wizard of Oz shaking in your boots before the smoky curtain feeling. What you heard is true. Amen. And if the Spirit of God is answering the prayers that we prayed this morning, there is something going on inside of your heart right now that says, I am not reconciled to God. I am not saved. And you want to listen to that impression of the Spirit of God. He did something for you nobody else in this universe would ever do. For every cuss word you've said, for every lie you've told, for everything you stole, for every wicked thought you had, for every imagination that runs through your head, for every bad thing you said, for every wrong place you went, for every evil, for every greed, for every anything down in the heart that was bad, Jesus Christ paid for every single one of those iniquities. So you could get off scot-free. You say, that's too easy. Why would it be hard? Why would it be hard if He's already paid for all of that? What else is there for you to pay? Nothing. We are ambassadors for Christ, verse 20 says, as though God did beseech you by us. Do you understand? We have opened the Scripture here today. You are hearing the voice of a man. You are seeing a fellow stand here in a gray suit, in a blue shirt. But you are hearing from God. Verse 20, as though God did beseech you by us. You say, how do you know that? Because He speaks through His words. You're not in a church to become, to say that you went to a Baptist church. Somebody says you don't become a Christian by going to church any more than you become a car by sleeping in the garage. I don't understand it as a man completely, but I believe it, that somehow this flesh and clay, forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, can stand up here and you can hear from God through this book. But that's what's happening. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Do you know what took place in this church building at 8:30 this morning? Some of you know, because you were here. There are people sitting right over here, back there. I don't know how many there were. 2 dozen people here this morning, 8:30. And for about 30 minutes, we were praying for people who don't know Jesus Christ. And we were praying for them by name. If you're here today without Christ, we didn't know you were going to be here and couldn't pray for you by name. But may I tell you something? One of our prayers also was, and if there is anybody here today without Jesus Christ, may they not leave here lost. We pray you. We did. You've been prayed for. And on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning last week, you've been prayed for. And we prayed for you this morning when I bowed my knee here behind this pulpit. And in a very strange way, while I'm preaching now, I'm praying, God, please stir the hearts of the lost that they may receive Jesus Christ. Why? Because He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we do. Let me help you. I'm not the only minister of reconciliation here today, folks. You're a minister of reconciliation. You may not have known it, but you are. You're a minister of reconciliation. You knew it. You're a minister of reconciliation. You see, once our sins have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved, we know something that people we know don't know, and they need somebody to tell them. And God didn't call me to go over there to see the people that I don't know, that you know, to tell them about Jesus Christ, unless you ask me to help you. He called you to do it. You're a minister of reconciliation. You say, well, what does that take? A prepared messenger with a prepared message. That's all it is. You're a minister of reconciliation. Say, I'm afraid. You don't think we don't get a little bit nervous up here before we get ready to preach? We all have to fear the faces. I mean, we're not supposed to, but we look at somebody and go, I'm going to witness this guy. Ooh, hey, go to hell if you want to, but I'm not, I ain't talking to you. Stand up. Oh, yeah, I'll take this guy. How you doing? You want to know Jesus? I don't know why we do that, but we do. You know what? I'm a minister of reconciliation to this guy just as much as I am. Because God said when I sent you to the as an ambassador, I didn't tell you to pick the field. I didn't tell you to pick the field. I picked the field. And I needed you. I want you. I want to be in you. As though God did beseech you by us. I want to be in you. To tell. Just let me talk through you. Just open my word. Just open my word. And let me talk to them. Just open my word. And let me talk to them. And I'll help them come to Jesus Christ because they have been reconciled to me by my Son. And they need my Son. Say, preacher, what are you talking about today? Two very simple things. If you're here today saved, you're an ambassador. Just open the book. Listen, it's better than an American Express card. Don't leave home without it. You'd be amazed how God wants to use your voice and your body to speak to people for whom His Son already died. Let me just give you this last little illustration on that. Wouldn't it be ashamed after all that Jesus Christ did in reconciling us to God through His shed blood, wouldn't it be ashamed if Zach was one person I knew well enough to tell him, but I was so scared I wouldn't tell him, and because of that he didn't find out? How am I going to face him when he goes to his judgment? I realize God is not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. But there is a need for us to speak. And after all Christ did, we should be able to put our fears aside and say, I'll do it. I'll do it. That's one thing. Here's the other thing. After all Christ did for you, what legitimate excuse do you have for leaving here lost? Give me one good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just one good reason. I talked to a fellow one time I'd witnessed to for a number of years. And he and I were talking across his desk. He was 86 years old. He told me a story. I witnessed to him again and I looked him in the eye and I said to him, can you think of one good reason why you won't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today? He was sitting in his chair across from me in his desk. He crossed his arms like this. He crossed his leg like that. He looked up at the ceiling for about 30 seconds, which seemed like about 2 hours. And he looked right back at me in my eyes with a little bit of moisture in the bottom of his eyes and he said, I can't think of one good reason. I said, then would you like to receive him? He smiled and he said, you know, I believe I will. He reached his hand out and took my hand and we bowed our heads together and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. 3 years later, as an 89-year-old man, when he died, thank God, he was reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you can be reconciled to God by Jesus Christ today? You can leave here with all of your sins gone and the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you and be a new creature in Christ. Our first verse says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many times have I talked to people and said, I just need a new lease on life? You can have it today. Will it change your circumstances? No, but it'll change you in the circumstances. And once that happens, circumstances don't really seem to mean that much anymore. God leads you right out of those things if you just give Him the chance to lead you. Listen, I know as sure as I'm standing here that in our presence today we have people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I know you know who He is. I know you know what He did. But you haven't trusted Him yet. And you know it. And I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Today, you see, right here, watch this. I already know the answer to this question. How many of you in this building today received Jesus Christ after hearing preaching in a service like this today? Raise your hand. You just look around you. You see people all around you that have gotten saved in response to an invitation following preaching today. Like that. I plead with you, if there was something that I personally could do to convince you to get saved, I would do it. But that's not the messenger's responsibility. The messenger's responsibility, the ambassador's responsibility, is to simply be prepared and deliver a message. The question is, are you on obedient ear? Will you respond to God? I pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Let's pray. Father, I ask you please, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us First, Father, I ask you for these that are gathered here, that are always here. May the words of this message sink deep into our hearts that we truly are ambassadors for Christ. Perhaps we need to be very responsive to this invitation today and come and just reclaim that we understand the truth of these things. We'll be messengers prepared with a prepared message to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And just preach the word so the word can preach to the people. And then I pray for those today here that are lost, Father, that your Spirit will do work that I cannot do, a regenerating work to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.